Hello everyone, good evening. A very warm welcome to this Saturday night programme on what could sound like a rather technical subject of neuropsychology and spirituality, but the focus of our speaker, who's Dr. Sudhir Shah, it's my great pleasure to be saying a few words of introduction about him. His focus is on happiness and how these different disciplines, the light that they can shed on how we can really lead happy and effective lives. So we've got a real treat in store. I only met Dr. Sudhir for the first time earlier this evening, although I've seen him on television. He came to international prominence when he was directing a study of a breatharian who created international headlines because of really demonstrating that it is actually possible to live without without food, and I think without water for the period of the study as well. It created massive interest around the world. He's also had three films made about his work. And Dr. Shah is actually an extremely delightful and humble person, and yet he has made a very big impact in the world of science by his understanding of the role of spirituality in, and it's the way it influences our physical functioning, including the functioning of our brains. This is a very great discipline that has led, he was telling me, to a real shift within science in these last 3 or 4 years, where science is moving away from its completely materialistic focus, which used to be very much almost like an ethic in science, that you only look at what is outside, and it's now realizing that it must turn its disciplined minds to the study of consciousness and what is inside, and look at the relationship between those two. He has I didn't know this, but he has a very long association with the Brahma Kumaris family. Those of you who are here for the first time may know a little bit about the Brahma Kumaris, that Brahma Baba, the founder, whose picture was up there earlier, back in the 1930s, had a series of visions that led him to give all his wealth to a group of young women who trained up as yogis very intensely. And they became this army of daddies who went across India and then across the world, bringing spiritual understanding to millions. Dr. Sudhir first met the Brahma Kumaris in Ahmedabad in 1973. He took the Raja Yoga course at that time, and I'm sure found it would have helped shape the efforts he was making professionally. And in 1992, he was called in to help Daddy Janki, who is now the head of the Brahma Kumaris. She was unwell, she was in a lot of pain, but she was still smiling despite her physical discomfort, and she made a big impression, a lasting impression, on Dr. Sudhir. And subsequently, over the years, he has helped countless Brahma Kumaris, actually, he reckons almost all the daddies. There's a Daddy Prakashmani, the former head, Daddy Gulzar, Daddy Normal Shanta, many of these key figures in the Brahma Kumaris family, and Navarbhai also. And in fact, he reckons that almost every month several BKs are benefiting from his services, and they've come from all over the globe that he's seen people. He trained here in London and in Houston in the US, and he has had an innovative approach to his field all the way through. He has been interested in the science behind spiritual practices. He comes from a Jain background in which spirituality is regarded as a science within the Jain tradition, and that also will have helped him to achieve the eminence that he has, both in clinical work and in research work. And the field that he has a special interest in now is neurotheology. So it's like seeing the impact of spiritual understanding and practice on our brains and our physical functioning. He says that he's seen how it helps people, this understanding, when you see the external impact on your physiological and neurological functioning, it helps people to see and understand the importance of the inner life, which is a great gift to our world and a huge need. So how to really achieve happiness is his theme tonight. Is it from the externals or is it from the journey inside? How to achieve that and how meditation helps in that. But ultimately, I was fascinated that he was saying that it's real happiness is not just some kind of something you can take off the shelf, but it's really related to a way of life and a way of thinking. So very warm welcome to Dr. Sudhir. We're looking forward very much to hearing your experience and understanding.
So, first of all, a wonderful evening to all of you. My regards and thanks to Dadi Janki, who was so kind and so personally connected to me. I am also thankful to BK Jaimini Ben, Jayanti Ben, and all other BK brothers and sisters who are instrumental in bringing me here to interact with you. I'm coming from a very scientific background. I'm a neurologist and I worked here in Queen Square Hospital. And so basically this talk was designed for American group of neuroscientists because they wanted to understand the spiritual aspect of happiness. But then over time I tried to make it a little more comfortable for general people. May I have the slide, please? Because I'll have to continue the attention from you because I have to change slides every night. This is Dadi Janki. She is a motherly lady to me. She is a daddy to all of us. She calls me brother. She calls me my doctor, etc. So we have many relations. I'm fortunate that she keeps me in her heart. Next slide, please. See, this subject today is actually the most important subject. All of us, we want to address this subject. We all know that all of us, we have a problem in life. There is nobody who is without problem. Can I have the lights down, please? Pardon? I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay. So, a lot of light on my face creates a problem for me, so that's the reason. If you can.
Can I move you over there? Don't mind. Behind those lights?
No problem.
So they can see you?
Yeah, that is better.
That's all right.
That's fine. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'll take. So, ever since we are born and till we die, all of us, we have problem. You agree or not? We all have problems. There is nobody I have met in the world who says that I am without any problem. And if there is a problem, there has to be a cause. This is called noble truth or Arya Satya of Lord Buddha. So if there is a problem, there has to be a cause. And if there is a cause, there has to be some way. And then the last punchline is, if you follow that path, if you follow the way, I think we will get rid of the problem. So that is the basic truth that we have to understand. Next slide, please. So, ladies and gentlemen, pain is inevitable. But the suffering is optional. We can choose whether we want to suffer or not. Next slide, please. I have a question for you. Do you want to be happy? Please raise your hands. How many of you want to be happy? Please. Then be. It's that simple. If you want to be happy, then be. Who prevents you from being happy? Next slide, please. Remember, we are having a great myth. We are in charge of our happiness, nobody else. So all the time when we are in trouble, we say that I was all right, but you know, this fellow did that to me, or this circumstance came, and otherwise I was happy. So we try to blame people and circumstances. Actually, we are in charge of our happiness and not anybody else. If we decide to be happy from this moment, I think nobody can make us unhappy. So we'll start the journey of happiness. Fasten your seat belts and let's move on. Next slide, please. Happiness is our conscious decision. It is our conscious choice. Okay? If we want to be happy, it is our conscious decision. If we don't want to be happy, it is your conscious decision. Next slide, please. Second most important thing, happiness is a journey and not a destination. Most of us, when we ask, what do you think, Mr. Shah, when will you become happy? People would say, oh, if I get $5 crore or pounds, then I'll be happy. Somebody would say, till I get the degree of PhD, I'm a little unhappy. Somebody would say that my kids should get married and then I would be happy. So we have a fixed kind of mindset, and therefore the whole journey towards that goal becomes unhappy journey. And once we reach the goal, our next goal moves on. So we don't remain happy. Actually, we should make a habit of enjoying the journey towards a particular goal or whatever. So from this moment onwards, let us be happy. Next slide, please. What is the purpose of life? The purpose of life is to live long and be happy and make others happy. Dadi Janki used to say a lot of times, in our second meeting only gave me a card saying, Sukh do, Sukh lo. Na dukh do, na dukh lo. Take happiness and give happiness. Do not take unhappiness and do not give unhappiness. It's as simple as that. Everyone also wants peace. The ultimate purpose of life is to enjoy and live happily and make others happy. Next slide, please. So the talk is designed like this. We'll define quickly what is happiness, what is the psychology of happiness, what is the neuroscience behind that, why we are unhappy, what determines our happiness, and then we will evolve the keys how to become happy. So all this background is necessary in the language of science, because unless we understand why we are unhappy and what are the real changes in the brain and mind, we would not be able to solve the problem. So I thought I'll bring some background for you and then we will evolve the keys. Next slide, please. Aristotle defined happiness like this. Happiness is the purpose and the meaning of life, the whole aim and the end of human existence. So profound a thing. For all of us, we are here because we want to be happy. There is a purpose of life. Why we are following a particular sect or religion, or maybe why we follow this BK system, etc. Because there is a quest for happiness. And that's what Aristotle said. Next slide, please. Achieving what is sought for and dissociating from what is not desired, that is our sukh, that is our happiness. Happiness is a state of mind and it's a very dynamic thing. Next slide, please. We'll see. Today, I might be feeling quite happy. Tomorrow, I may not be. And for each person, the definition of happiness differs. So broadly defining happiness for people would be in, three groups. All persons fall into one of the three groups. Those who are spiritually awake, we call it sattva, sattvic people. Or those who are tamasic, who are asleep all the time, that is the lowest group, and in between middle is the Rajas group, who are partially awake. Our own personal definition of happiness will depend on which of these groups we belong to. One is called pleasure, the second group is joy, and the third, tamas, and the sattvic group is bliss. Next slide, I will explain. What is pleasure? Pleasure is, people who are in a sleep state, the tamas is the animal instinct. Happiness is sought from the outer world. The objects of five senses, namely visual input, hearing, taste, touch, and smell, they feel happiness in satisfying these five senses. And this, classically, this pleasure is a very momentary thing. It is sensual, instinctual, and physiological. It is always perpetual, and there is always demand for more and more. I'll explain what is that. But this is very transient, very short-lived. Like if we eat some object, we feel, oh, very good. After maybe 15 minutes or half an hour, we forget that. It's like electrical impulse in the brain, and that produces very transient action potential in the brain. Next, please. So these are the objects: food, sex, places, listening, music, fragrance. These are the objects of happiness for this kind of people. Believe me, in my research, 92% of people in the world have their thinking, you know, happiness resides in all these things. So they always want to enjoy a club, going to different places, eating food and dancing, music, etc. Next slide, please. And when we do MRI of the brain, it's called fMRI, functional MRI, we have a particular part of the brain that is getting more blood supply, there is electrical activity there, and we can capture it and record that. And this is reproducible, that's a science. So the large area of this brain which are connected to that particular senses, like during the visual connections, this particular portion of the brain is getting more blood. If it is a hearing, something musical thing we are hearing, then the temporal part of the brain. So different portion of the brain gets activated during different sensual activity. Next slide, please. And these are the circuits, the blue and the red, as you have red tube and yellow tube and green tube and blue tube, I get lost in that. But that kind of, you know, specific circuitry happens in the brain during the activity of pleasure. And the principal molecules are dopamine and serotonin. Why I brought this slide for you? Dopamine is a reward molecule. Like if you get something, you are rewarded, and then you feel transiently happy. But that dopamine is another function too. It is linked with serotonin, which is a memory molecule. And the moment that pleasant stimulus is gone, after some time, brain remembers that I need that particular thing to be happy. So you require that again and again. If you don't get that, you become more unhappy than what happiness you achieved. So, friends, the happiness which is based on sensual activities, all five things are very transient, instinctual, physiological, and because of the demand of more and more, you get more pain, more unhappiness. So this is not the real way to become happy if you want to remain happy for a long time. Next slide, please. So these are the different ways you can, you know, produce dopamine, like watermelon, sweet peppers, cheese, honey, cucumber, beet, apple, you know. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. But if the doctor is cute, forget the fruit. Next slide, please. So next we move on to the second level, and that is called santosh, joy. Now there are 5% of people in the world who, maybe 5 to 7% sometimes, you know, they are happy if they can impart meaning to life, impart meaning to others. They can create some productivity, creativity, service to mankind, and all those things. So through service to mankind, success, achievements, creativity, social interaction, recognition, spiritual practice like prayer, etc., some people become happy, and that is the next level. It is quite human. Previous was an animal instinct, only instinctual. This is something human. And here, it is a rajas mind. And there are desires here, but they are refined desires. And people here, like creating institutions, making conferences, earning awards and achievements, and creating empires, and like, you know, billionaire and all those. These are people who, you know, achieve joy. Here, important to understand is 50% of the happiness comes from outside and 50% from within. In the pleasure, everything depends on the external world. And if there is no external input, there will be no happiness, because five senses require objects. Here there is some inner will, creativity, productivity, gush to help people. Therefore, there is 50% input inside and 50% from outside. Why outside? Because to create all those empires and to create some meaning to people, they require people. There is need where people appreciate them. There is a requirement of money. There is a requirement of, you know, gatherings, etc. So here the input and output are 50-50 divided. Here the happiness lasts longer. Like if you create a happy institution, you know, you will remain happy for quite long time. If I listen to music, it is my pleasure. But if I create music, if I sing a beautiful song or play violin in front of me, my part would be joy, listeners would be on the pleasure mode. So that's the difference. Next slide, please. So achievement, degrees, next please. And, you know, concerts, etc., next please. And when we do fMRI of the brain, you know, the portion of the brain that is activated is much smaller, you know, like posterior parietal area, etc. And next slide, please. And the molecules are different, apart from those previous dopamine and serotonin, which are desire molecules. Since the desires are refined, you have oxytocin, vasopressin, etc., prolactin, and there is a social recognition. There is an element of ego in rajas, because we need appreciation, you get awards and success and etc. So that's how the joy operates. Next slide, please. The third and the most important, the longest lasting, permanent lasting happiness comes from within, and that is bliss. If you see Dari Janki or Prakash Mindari or Gulzar, they are always in blissful state. I remember when I met Janki Dadi in the first meeting, 1992, at the middle of night. She was having terrible pain in the, you know, whole arm and leg, but she was smiling, and she talked to me very nicely and gave blessings. Now this requires a blissful state. It's a consciousness becoming identified with the universe consciousness. There is a lot of compassion, love, affection. The activity of mind in connection to thought, emotion, desires are all ceased. There is always a total inner input. There is no external output. These people do not require any external input. It's totally self-dependent. It's a kind of permanent meditative state. And this is called fully awake state. Next slide, please. And to tell you, those who remain in bliss are always in a peaceful mode. So bliss and peace go hand in hand. It's a packet deal. Next slide, please. And the Oriental or Jain or our weakest way of, you know, achieving divinity is through silence, celibacy, austerity, finance, control of senses, politeness, then some chanting, reading, spiritual reading like we do morally, repetition of the, you know, same thing, and meditation. These are the steps that, you know, we require to attain blissful state. Next slide. And mindfulness practice. Whatever we do with the complete presence of mind, and that is called mindfulness. In last decade or so, neurological science has studied mindfulness, meditation, great details. And you know what? These people who have achieved this state, they remain in a permanent meditative state. While they are eating, they are meditating. While they are talking, they are in a meditative state. While they are sleeping, they are in a meditative state. And that is the way, you know, a blissful person operates. Next slide, please. And when we do fMRI during these activities, we get a very pointed area of the brain. So these are all scientific experiments that we have conducted, and many scientists in the world are doing all these experiments, and these are all reproducible in different subsets. So this is a symbolic representation of the self during the meditative acts. Next slide, please. And the chemicals here are different. They are no more dopamine or serotonin. There is no external input. Here is endorphin, GABA, encephalin, endocannabinoids. Next slide, please. So, friends, we have seen three levels: pleasure, joy, and bliss. And now you understand that if we want to remain in a long-term state of happiness, we have to attain bliss. That is the message from the first part of the presentation. Next slide, please. You would ask me, how can we really measure happiness? Can we literally document? Yes, there are ways. Neurologists and psychologists have done that. Next one, please. We use this kind of machines, which are MEG and fMRI and PET and SPECT, etc. Next, please. And then the next question would come, who is more happy? Young people are happy, married are happy, men are happy or women are happy, etc., etc. Next slide, please. Next, please. Next, please. The spiritual, those who are spiritually committed, these people are having more level of happiness, more depth of happiness. That is one study that was undertaken. Next slide, please. Then we go to the other part, and that is why we are unhappy. Next, please. Kindly remember that life is larger than our profession or business or job or whatever you're doing. Life is a much, much big thing. Like, if I'm a doctor, I'm also a father, I'm also somebody's son, somebody's husband, and a teacher, and whatnot. So, we, in our own existence, we have multiple facets. Unfortunately, we try to live in only one kind of, you know, format. That if I am a doctor, I try to be a doctor right from morning to night and try to behave that way. It's not so. So this is a fundamental error that we have to correct. Next slide, please. Friends, in everybody's life, there comes a crossroad. One road takes to more fame, money, achievements, awards and position. The other road takes us to religion, morality, spirituality and godliness. That is the road to success and pleasures. The better road is the road to bliss. Next slide, please. One has to choose between success and inner peace and happiness. Success is not identical with happiness. In fact, it is counterproductive after some stage. So those who are after success in achievements and awards, they hardly achieve the kind of attainment that, you know, these blissful people get it. And I, for one, I had a lot of experiments on myself. I did lots of meditative processes. I studied meditation in depth, and I realized how it can transform our lives. We'll see in the later part of the talk. So why we are not happy? As for example, for a professional person, there is academic stress, professional career, corporate stress, conferences, researches. And then we have to balance our life by looking after spouse, in-laws, parents, children, psychological issues, social issues, children issues, then interpersonal relationships, misunderstandings, competition, negative emotion. Everybody is, you know, somehow de-learning the, you know, right way of living. As a matter of fact, most of us learn wrong things like ego, jealousy and all that. And most of us, we want to have a lot of money, fame, time management is issue, traffic, mobile, social media. Now, you are lucky that most of the bigger training is keeping you away from social media, but most of the part of the world is now infected with social media. Then we have to manage your staff, and then legal issue and paper issue and whatnot. So there are so many ways and number of reasons why we are unhappy. And in India, I was telling to group of people, we have government issue like income tax and GST and demonetization. I'm sure you have your local government issues, Brexit and whatnot. And there are and at the top of it, we have to maintain our physical and mental health, and we have to remain happy. So that's a very, very narrow, thin line on which we have to walk. Next slide, please. So this is how, you know, social media has taken the world by, you know, tide. Next slide, please. So that brings us to the most important part of the discussion. What determines our happiness? 20% of the times it is genes, how we are genetically made. Some of the castes and races are genetically happy. Some are genetically quarrelsome and bothersome people. 10% of the happiness comes from the circumstances that passed. You know, we have that period of time which is bad or good for us. These circumstances do create an impact on our life. 20% of the happiness, according to scientific research, is through our status of money, health, etc. But most of us believe that all our happiness is due to money and achievements. This is wrong. Science does not agree with that. Previous slide, please. Previous one. Yeah. But 50% of happiness comes from attitude, behavior, morality, and spirituality. Next slide, please. Now let's talk about genes. Oscar Wilde wrote somewhere, some cause happiness wherever they go, and others whenever they go. Some people, when we meet, why, let us get rid of this fellow. So this is the kind of, you know, and that comes through your genes, they say. Some people are born happy. Even if they fail in exams, you know, my neighbor, she failed in exam in 12th. With 5 subjects. So I went and I tried to express my sorrow and all that. Oh, uncle, I passed 3 subjects with distinction. It doesn't matter to her whether she has failed in 5. So people look only positive. Next slide, please. And some people, if you go and greet them, oh, so what? So people are like that. Next slide, please. So there are 4 genes which we have discovered. VMAT2, ATLPR, MAO and FA. That determines our happiness. So friends, remember, it's our genetic map that is very important sometimes. We are happy, born happy people, okay? And unfortunately, not many people have this kind of genes in proper proportions. I'll take in next couple of minutes then. Next, please. But the good part of the gene story is that after the discovery of epigenetics in 2014, we now know that with altruistic action and mindfulness and meditation, we can actually unlock the DNA code. That is epigenetics. I wish that you read on net what is epigenetics and how you can change your genetic pattern. Even you can change your genes through your thoughts, your emotions, your way of life, the weakest style or whatever spiritual system you follow. Your behavior and situation that can really change the gene code, GCC and all those things which you might have studied in your science. So DNA and genes either can be changed with repetitive actions and thoughts, or the gene expression can be altered. So genes may remain same, but the expression would differ. And that's how you can make happiness molecules. Next, please. So, circumstances. Next, please. If we reduce our commitments and interaction with people, we remain more happy. The more we interact with circumstances, the more commitments and kind of, you know, interactions you produce, you are going to be unhappy. The reason is that by knowing more and more people, you get involved into a lot of situations, entangled into different things, and that makes you more and more unhappy. Next slide, please. Next one. Money produces short-term benefits. More money will not raise well-being. Next slide, please. Next, please. There is a graph that was studied in US actually. The upper level shows the rising income, and the lower graph shows the increase in happiness. After a certain stage, the happiness does not rise proportionately with money. Actually, the happiness level goes down. Why so? Next slide, please. So more money does not produce more happiness. Money can bring security as well as comfort and pleasure. True. It can bring improved standards of life and education. True. But more than required money, more than required success corrupts an individual. It takes away your morality, your relationship, your health, bliss and peace. I would have wished to go into depth of all this, but we have constraint of time. I'm sure you're all well-versed people and you will understand what I'm trying to say. That at the slide that I showed, at some point of time we are at crossroads and we have decided enough is enough. Enough is money. Enough is your success. Now I want to transform my life and go more towards spirituality. That decision, that call, every individual has to take. It may come at the age of 25, it may come at the age of 65. It depends on the person's level of thinking. Next slide, please. Happiness, friends, is not something that happens or money or power can command. It's only by controlling the inner experiences that we can become happy. Happiness cannot be reached by consciously searching out. Like, oh, I want to get happiness, so I move across the world and try to find out happiness in people and objects and circumstances. No. It is only by controlling our inner experience that we can become happy. And that is why I started my talk with fasten your seatbelt. If you want to be happy, be yourself. And that's what we will see now. Next slide, please. So how to be happy? Physical, chemical and moral, and philosophical and spiritual perspective. All this background was created to understand the subject of happiness from different perspectives, including science. Next, please. So there are certain keys, physical, social, moral, mental, spiritual. Next one. So, from the physical viewpoint, it is a fact that if we are not healthy, if you are in slightest discomfort or physical ailment, we would not enjoy happiness. So try to preserve health, eat right, do exercise, get enough sleep, good executive function, learn to relax, laugh exhaustingly and love abundantly. Dadi Janki used to tell me a lot of times, Sudhir, live elegantly, love abundantly, and laugh exhaustingly. I'm sure she must have told the same line to you. Next slide, please. So get enough sleep, do exercise, and there are five diet things. Now, diet is very important. You know, four things. What you eat creates your thoughts and emotions. How you eat? You are eating in hurry or talking or seeing television? No. That would create a lot of problems in your mind and brain. Who has prepared your food? If it is prepared with a lot of prayers and blessings, it has a different impact. And where the money has come from which your food is prepared, these things really create a lot of impact in your thoughts, emotions, desire, etc. So be careful. And what do you eat? Fruits, nuts, veggies, pulses and liquids, etc. Next slide, please. Say no to exciting things. Do some resistance training. Vent out with a friend. These are all simple, important things. Next, please. Do yoga, Raj Yoga, do massage. I'm talking of a good massage, not the Thai massage. Laugh frequently. Next slide, please. Smile is the main way to tell someone is happy, but only there should be a real smile. Give a good smile to each and every person you meet. And just start your day from morning to night. Give a smile, beautiful smile. And smile solves many problems, believe me. when my residents ask me some funny questions which I don't know, I just smile. So they understand, why, professor, what does he want to convey? They are confused. And laugh frequently at yourself, at your own mistakes, not at others' mistakes. And laugh from the core of your spirit. That is called the real laugh. Learn to laugh in all mistakes and bad situations. I remember yesterday we had an incident. Jaimini Ben had a fracture, and I was quite concerned. I was constantly on phone. We were on tour, and when I met Rice, she was just smiling, and I did see a lot of distress on her face. I said, why, what happened? Sudhir Bhai, a drama. This is a drama. How to accept this kind of fracture with so much pain? I mean, that requires training, and that's where you have passed your BK training. And that's what I want to tell you. Laugh and smile out, and you know, delegate things to, you know, this kind of situation like karma, and that is how you understand the philosophy. Next slide, please. Silence avoids so many problems. I don't know how many of you know this gentleman. With all due regards, he avoided most of his problems by just silence. So keep silence. Next slide. Love and heavens. This is a very profound line. If you spend your life in judging people, then when will you love them? So whomsoever you meet, you know, praise, appreciate, don't judge. Oh, he had me ne wo kiya, this fellow did that to me. No. Life is too short. We don't have time to love people. And then how do we get time to judge and criticize people? No. Always love and appreciate people. Next, please. And when we do appreciation, there is a reward in the brain. And we found that the rostral midbrain area creates a symbol. And that point leads a parasympathetic output, and we get kind of peaceful state, our pulse, our blood pressure, our respiration go in a yogic mode. What does it mean? It becomes slow, low pulse, low blood pressure, and slow respiration. And that is the reward of love. Next slide, please. So if happiness has a biological cause in the brain, then we'll be able to influence with drugs and surgery, etc. We saw that there were some biological things happening in different types of happiness. So how can that be altered? Next slide, please. So there are those people who are having psychological states like anxiety, extremes of depression, extremes of psychotic or behavioral issues. They should see psychiatrists and get drugs and counseling. Next slide, please. And there are scientists working in Oxford and I'm told in Harvard also, and that we are trying to stimulate some part of the brain that produces happiness chemical in that circuitry, and that is what is the future of science. Tomorrow, after 10 years, it might so happen that somebody is not happy. We will come to our lab, I will screen the brain and touch upon that particular period. Next day, that fellow is happy throughout his life. So that's the way science is going to happen. Bring next slide, please. And there are some, you know, people who sell happiness, God helmets, you know, wear that and you remain happy. It's all bogus, but this is what is happening in the other part of the world. Oxycom is a spray. I was traveling from Canada to America, and my co-brother was driving the car. There was an avalanche, and the whole road was blocked. So there was a lot of stress in his mind that we had to reach a particular place in particular time. So every few minutes he will bring out this and he feel cozy. So I said, what is this? You know what? This is oxytocin molecule which I showed in the joy area. You require that. And this oxytocin lasts for 5 minutes only. And then, so I got a fantastic idea. If somebody is angry with me, you know, I'll just try and manage to push something in his nose. Ah. At least for the next few minutes he will be. You may be laughing, but tomorrow this will happen. Science is working on emotions and thoughts. And maybe all our emotions would be the tip of our finger and tip of our nose. We'll be able to alter. If somebody is jealous, if somebody is angry, as I said, and you can change your emotion. This might happen, frankly. Next slide, please. So, the gene that I was talking, next slide, please. After 10 years, due to genetic engineering and genetic coding, you must have read somewhere last year's big headlines. Like if somebody is unhappy after 10 years, he comes to our laboratory, I will put his blood on the screen of my computer and I will study his genes, those four genes they are lacking. I will take a robot, mini robot, I'll do nanotechnology, I'll inject or infuse those genes into that gentleman or woman, and that fellow would come out my laboratory after 1 hour with those four genes flooded in the blood, and next day onwards, that person will be happy. So genetic engineering is a big boon, and nanotechnology, robot and genetics will change the future of mankind in coming decade. So happiness, if you're happy, your so many diseases are related to unhappiness. And if you remain happy, if you start rewiring or your brain that all the way I am happy, all the way you think you are positively happy, then all these diseases like arthritis, allergy, asthma, hypertension, diabetes, constipation, tension, headache, pains, menopausal problem, depression, skin disease, so many things, overweight, sleep problems would gradually decline. So that's the way happiness can help your physical body. Next slide, please. So, the other keys that we are looking, we talk about the physical keys and all that. Now we go to the next level, that is pleasant activities. Those of you who are in a joyful state and want to remain in a longer lasting kind of happiness apart from joy, apart from pleasure, which is very short lasting. Then music, dance, art, creativity is one way, traveling, reading, gardening, grooming, etc. Next slide, please. So these are the pleasant activities. Music is the medicine of the mind. Music is a string that vivifies your soul and fills it emptiness. So I think good music, good songs as we play here in the BK house, etc. This should be a part of your daily routine. Next slide, please. And if you create music, if you learn music, that would be much better. Then we come to five important relationships that determine our happiness. Married life, children, in-laws, parents, friends and professional people. Next slide, please. Marriage. I don't know how relevant it is here, but marriage is a system, you know. It's a funny system. It's a way through which two people join together to solve the problems which they never had before. That's called marriage. And happy married life is to me an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. But however, if you are lucky enough as I am, my wife is so supportive. I think your half of the job is done. Your happiness depends 50% on your spouse. Next slide, please. So what do women want? They need to be understood, to be loved and cared and validated and accepted and free, freedom they want, right? Am I right? Yes. And next slide, please. What does a man want in return? Next slide, please. Anybody's guess? Leave it. Next slide, please. Happiness for children. You don't make happy your children by giving them money and lot of, you know, things to, you know, play around. Actually, if you want to make them happy, give them culture, education, knowledge, time. Give your time, wisdom and art. That is how you can really make your children happy. Next slide, please. And next, please. And you have to manage. Next, please. Next, please. How to, you know, interact with your in-laws and parents. Next, please. That is also an art and that one has to learn. Next, please. So accepting the differences in upbringing and family dynamics are very important things that one should learn. Next, please. Next, please. And you know what? If you remain in touch with children, people who are most inquisitive, you actually live much longer. So happiness helps you live longer. Next slide, please. And regarding friends, you don't need so many friends or virtual friends on Facebook, etc. One or two real good friends would make your life. And that is what is a blessing for many people. Don't have that. Next, please. And those who want to create empires and buildings and institutions, they require kind of wisdom, courage, team building, love, justice, temperance and transcendence. Next slide, please. Then we move on to the final aspect of my talk in the next 10 minutes, because we started a little late. The five virtues, most important things. So far, what we talked was more of a superfluous level, physical and relationship, etc., which is important though. But the most important thing, as we showed in that slide, the 50% of your happiness comes from your attitude, morality, spirituality, etc. And those virtues like gratitude, appreciation, forgiveness, kindness, and acceptance are most important. I'm sure in your Murli, you are listening to this often, now and then. Dadi Janki also talks about this. Her books are also full of all this. Next slide, please. So, next slide. Oh, go back. Gratitude is one of the most important thing. Next slide, please. And appreciation. Be verbal in acknowledging your appreciation. I'll spend 1 minute here. A person who brings a cup of tea for you or a glass of water for you, you should be thankful and you should be verbal and it should come from the bottom of your heart. That kind of thankfulness, gratitude we need to do. The one who opens your door, the one who brings little small things for you, does small ironing for you, this, by all means, all people who do whatever little or big for you must be appreciated verbally and acknowledged. So gratitude and appreciation, these two things. There are lots of things we can appreciate in people. Even the smallest person has a lot of virtues, and those small virtues can make his day and your day also. You know, you can appreciate somebody's smile. Oh, your smile is wonderful. You look quite smart today. Or you are so kind, even the higher and deeper level. Or you appreciate the inner core of that person. That kind of appreciation is required verbally. Next slide, please. Forgiveness. First to forgive, first to apologize is the bravest, and the first to forgive is the strongest, and the first to forget is the happiest. And there was a share in, you know, Urdu by Ghalib, which means that I'm so happy that I have written off my account. Those whom I owed something, I went and asked for forgiveness, and for those whom I had to forgive them, I forgave them and also forgot. So my account is closed. I have nothing pending. So that kind of forgiveness is important. And this, in countries, particularly in USA, now there is a movement called radical forgiveness. I'm sure you must have heard. In Jains, we have a Kshamapna system, that is Michchami Dukkhinam, all my wrongdoings, maybe pardon please, and I pardon you. Every day, morning and night, we must pardon all people whom we have met and those who have done wrong to us, and we also ask for forgiveness. Next slide, please. That really cleanses the heart. Compassion. Next slide, please. And acceptance. Accept the things that you can change, and you accept those things you can't change, but change those things whom you can. So that's the kind of law of acceptance. And cultivating an attitude of non-judgmental acceptance is not a resignation, actually. It's the realization, appreciation of the inherent imperfections of life. Life is so imperfect. So many things happen to us. Next slide, please. So, friends, the mathematics of happiness is entirely different than our physical world. If we divide our happiness, if we share our happiness, it actually becomes double. And if we have more desires than what we possess, then the happiness is halved. And if our reality and expectations don't match, your happiness is reduced. So we have to be very careful in the mathematics of happiness. Next slide, please. And the last part of the talk is religious and philosophical and spiritual aspects of happiness, which is the most important. Next one. See, this is a profound thing which you... There are different laws in spiritual world. And happiness resides in the spiritual world, in the inner world. It is not outside. Happiness is within, not outside. In a physical world, if I have to buy a car or a house or a telephone or something, I have to deposit some money or gold or something in exchange, and then I get the desired thing. In the terms of spiritual world, it is not so. Whatever I want, I have to deposit. If these are called quantum laws of spirituality. If I want happiness, I have to deposit happiness. If I want peace, I have to deposit peace. If I give hatred to somebody, I will only get hatred, nothing else. That is 100, there is no exchange here. This is not a physical world. Rule number 2. That particular happiness that I have given to someone may not come from the same person. It may come from the different corner. If I have given peace and happiness to this group, it may come from the other group. And that actually happens most of the time. That is why we are confused. Okay, I have done so much good to this fellow. Why that fellow didn't do this to me? Because it operates that way. So it comes from a different corner. Third, it comes in infinite quanta. As for example, I have given 10 units of happiness to Sardarji. I might get 1,000 units of happiness from somebody else. So it comes... It bounces back with a multiplication. So be careful. If you give unrest, unhappiness to somebody in 15 quanta, you may actually get 1,000 times more unhappiness. So these are the spiritual laws. And there is no exchange. And remember that all this happiness resides in the spiritual world. Next slide, please. The material world is to search happiness outside, while the quantum world looks inside. And at some stage of life, we realize that peace and happiness is not outside, which we are all the life we were searching in different people and objects. It's not so. A wise person then understands that it's not anywhere else. And then he is lucky enough, then he gets kind of right guru or right system like this. And the fellow starts looking inside with meditative and other spiritual processes. And there comes the major important thing. Remember, I started my talk with 4 truths, 4 noble truths, that there is a cause. That there is a problem, we all know, but that there is a cause. And the cause here in unhappiness is not anything else. Our own mind. And why I say so? The cause of miseries is our aspirations, our thoughts, our desires, our emotions, our perversions. The fact that we are having attachment to somebody and we are having hatred for others. The mind that wanders between the past tense and the future tense, that is also one of the reasons why we are unhappy. Our own ego. This fellow did that to me, oh my God, and that ego. And our attitude. And the avidya, these are the reasons why we are unhappy, not anything else, okay? So, therefore, if we work on all this, our thoughts, emotions, desires, attitude, ego, rag, dvesh, and past and future, then we are right at the point. So, that there is a cause, and that there has to be a way. And what is the way? Next slide, please. That is meditation. Next slide. So friends, we have to operate on 2 different levels. One is the cleaning of our mental processes. We have to work on attachments, thoughts, desires, emotions, attitude. Next slide, please. And attachment is the biggest issue that creates a lot of unhappiness to us. And we have to do all our activities, all karma, but we have to remain unattached. That is the legacy that we have to learn. Next slide, please. You only lose what you cling to. Next slide, please. Thoughts. What are we? We are nothing but our thoughts. The creation of myself or yourself is born out of your thought process. And that is what science believes now. Neuroscience tells that you are creating your own world. My world is different, your world is different, his world is different, because we are entangled into our thought, and that thought creates our own universe. If we really define our thought process and refine them and create a higher module, I think we all will be very happy. So we have to guard each and every thought that we have. Next slide, please. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as our own thoughts. Next slide. And we study thought in SPEC machine, you know, different aspects of the thoughts. When we study, we find that if I have a kind of peaceful thought, particular area of the brain is enlightened, there is some activity, biological activity. If I have a violent thought, my left temporal area gets activated. If I have compassion, the another set of area is activated. So these are all thoughts are no more, as you say, abstract. They are all biological events. And not only that, a single thought enters the whole body, changes the whole physiology. My heart rate, my blood pressure, my respiration, everything subtle way changes. And it affects my hormones, my immunity. Not only that, that transmits into the universe. Okay? And it ricochets and comes back to me. That is the science. That is the neuroscience telling us. So don't take that, what will happen, it's my thought, who would know? Every molecule in the universe would know. That's conspiracy. That is, if you have read physics, it's called Mach's principle. Every atom, if you disturb one atom here, the whole universe is disturbed. So, these are all living atoms. We are living people, and our single thought can alter the whole universe. And if all of us do prayers together, it can alter the universe in a different way. Next, please. Then desires. Desire is one of the biggest enemy, and we should work on that. We should reduce our desires. Next slide, please. If we have balance of our breathing and our desires are all fulfilled, and still we have balance breaths, and then that is called liberation. But if you are having short of breath, you are dying, and still your lot of desires are left out, that is called mrityu, that is your death. So there is a difference between death and liberation. So we should cut down our emotions, our desires. Next slide, please. And then acceptance. Next slide, please. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. I will always have a positive attitude. Next one. And we have to work on our anger, our ego, our deceit and greed, those four biggest enemies of mankind. Next slide, please. So the formula that we have come across so far is stop comparing, stop expecting, stop criticizing, start sharing, start helping, start loving, give, forgive, count blessings and enjoy every moment of life. Next slide, please. And this is how you can make a balance of your 8 hours work, 7 hours sleep, and 9 hours you do health, hygiene, family, friends, and 1 hour for yourself, for your soulful activities. Next slide, please. And religion opens the door to happiness. Next slide, please. Ethics is the fundamental of any religion. Next one. Next one. And yoga, Raj Yoga and Gyan Yoga, Karma Yoga, which are all, I'm sure you're taught all those things. Next slide, please. And then comes the role of spiritual practices. Daily spiritual reading. Every spiritual system follows Swadhyay system. Here as we do Murli and read good books. Then satsang is, you know, get sitting in a group like this and discussing on good things, chanting and devotion, prayers and meditation. Next slide, please. So these are the ways you can, do spiritual practices. This is the area where I'm profoundly interested and do a lot of research on this. Next slide, please. How actually the biology changes during this prayer. Next slide, please. And when we do prayer, there is a specific area of the brain in the limbic system that gets more metabolism and more blood flow. And that in turn produces parasympathetic outflow, reducing blood pressure, and pulse, etc., and making you in a calm and very peaceful mood. Next slide, please. Meditation is the topmost gift that one can give to somebody. The neurochemistry and neurophysiology of meditation is just the reverse of stress, and meditation is overactivity of parasympathetic system. Next slide, please. The success mode is a stress mode. The meditative mode is a yogic mode. Next, please. Next, please. Rumi, the Turkish Sufi poet, wrote, "Please do me a little favor. Please do me a little favor. Search your own self within yourself. You find your own self within you." And that is a very small sentence, but a wonderful meaning. Next slide, please. And that there are different meditative techniques, which I don't think we have time, and our subject is not that today. But focus on breathing, focusing on object, focusing on sound, focusing on a thought, sensual object, sensory perception, imagery, and soul meditation. There are 8 different meditative techniques. Next, please. And there are so many practices developed from that. Next, please. And when we do meditation-related MRI and other things, next slide, please, we get a very, very important finding. And I'm sure you would love this. This was work done by one of our colleagues, Professor Andrew Newberg, and before that, this paper was published in 2001 and second came in 2002. It's from Philadelphia. Before that, meditation, yogic way of living and Raj Yoga, etc., was considered a kind of hallucination, a myth, and without any scientific background. This gentleman and his group brought out a paper and he studied the Buddhist monks and lamas, etc., and then he repeated on several subjects with those techniques. What he realized that, I think I should give, this is called the prefrontal area of the brain, which lies here. What does that do? Prefrontal area of the brain is responsible for our intelligence, judgment, prioritization, our skill, our higher memory, and whatever human race is so much ahead of other races is due to, that all things reside in the prefrontal area, which is lacking in the just immediate previous race, that is chimpanzees, etc. So we are considered elevated race because of this prefrontal area. During meditation, what happens? There is increased blood flow. Whatever red you are seeing, there is baseline, and this is after meditation. You can see there is a 30% increase in the blood flow and metabolism in this prefrontal area in a meditative session which lasts more than 30 minutes. And if you do this over years, practicing Raj Yoga or whatever system of meditation, which I showed, there are different techniques and methods. If you follow that over months and years, your intelligence, judgment, prioritization, executive function, planning, your memory, your prajna becomes so profound that you are distinctly different from other human beings. That is number one. Second, next slide, please. The second derivative of this study was he showed that this is the parietal area of the brain, and here whatever blood flow, red is blood flow, you can see that that is reduced significantly. That is also very important. What is that? In the meditative process, when one sits beyond 30 to 60 minutes, preferably 60, then this particular part of the brain is called left parietal lobule. Here the blood flow decreases. Now this area is important because the so-called activities of mind are residing here. I am connected to the universe through probably this part of the brain. Why? Like this is evening time, say 2048, we are in the global house and the New Pound Lane, and there are about 70 people sitting in the room, and today is maybe 7th of September or whatever. And so the orientation of time, place and person is residing in this particular area. Now, our thoughts, our emotions, our desires, our ego is manifested because of basically orientation to time, place and person. As for example, if I'm sitting in a forest and you are not there, my interaction, my ego manifestation, my thoughts related to you, or my desires related to you will not appear. Therefore, the cause of miseries we decided were thoughts, emotions, desires, attachment, ego. What are these? These are all functions of mind. And these operate through this particular window. And we are connected to universal mind through this. During meditative processes, our orientation to time, place, person reduces. Therefore, we do not exist that way. We are in a different conscious state. It is called fourth state of consciousness. And therefore, we remain happier. And all those reasons, the miseries, would not operate. So one benefit is your improvement of your cognition and intelligence. The other benefit is reduction of your miseries. And that is why, friends, meditation is very important. Next slide, please. So I am at the end of my talk. This is the fMRI of the meditative state. Next, please. And meditation improves the attitude and personality of a person. Next slide, please. And attitude is something most important. Life is 10% what happens to me, 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. So a person who is doing meditation looks life in a very different way. And that is most important. Next slide, please. So, friends, I was here just by chance, and then this incident happened, and that it was proposed that I talk to you. So whatever little I know, I thought I should share with you. It might be of some use to some of you. I'm so grateful that all of you came and spent a lot of time with me. I'm thankful to BK for arranging this. So wait and meditate till I call you back. Next slide, please. Next, please. And guard your thoughts, guard your words, and guard your action. Every thought, every word, and every action you do, be very careful. It has a tremendous impact on yourself and others. And those who remain mindful and watch everything, they are in a meditative state because they are always conscious, awake. So, I think we have come a long way in the journey of happiness. There is no journey to happiness. It is a journey of happiness. Every second of life we have to relish, enjoy, cherish and share with others. And the best ways, five virtues, those five mental processes and five spiritual practices, apart from the physical things we discuss, I'm sure this will give you time to think and churn all those things. Next slide, please. And this is the formula of happiness. Absolutely, this is how your happiness circuit operates in the brain. And we should do all these things to remain happy, right from morning to night. All our day goes in our activities of body, because we are not taught to look at the mind. Mind is our 50% of existence, while most 99% of our activities are related to body. We eat, sit, run, do physical things, and bath, and do brushing, and these all related to, and then go for earning. While, when did we brush our mind? When did we bath our mind? When did we learn to, adore it? So this is all we have to rewire our brain, and that's the way that great teachers have taught me. Once again, I'm so lucky that, next slide please, the next one. And that I have been given exposure to these subjects. And the pin code of happiness, address of happiness is 0001 Spiritual Mansion, Meditation Hall, Philosophy Lane, Peace Society, Charity Chowk, Guwahati and Region Station. Next one. So remember that happiness is not easy to find inside, but it doesn't stay anywhere else, so you have to find it inside. It's not easy, but it is only there. And the road to success is different from road to happiness. Next slide, please. Okay. And the last one. So I started my talk, "Do you want to be happy?" I said, "Then be." But the real answer is, just be yourself. Stay within you. Next slide, please. Then, just be yourself. Next slide, please. I'm so thankful to the Adijis for so many blessings and the love that I've got all the while. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Well, that was a roller coaster ride, wasn't it? It was a wonderful presentation. So much wisdom, but so much humour as well. I really liked your bit about the gender difference and what makes us happy. That touched my heart very deeply. But I have a question of a sort that you say that the Tamo kind of happiness through the senses be very limited, we understand that, and then you get this Rajo happiness from more sociable things, you get feedback, but still there's a certain dependence in it, but then the best is the bliss that comes from the spiritual awareness and connection. But your life has brought you so many awards, so many. I forgot to mention in my introduction that Dr. Sudhir was given the Padma Shri Award 3 years back, which is from the government of India, a very, very high award of achievement from an Indian citizen. And if I highlight these things, is it going to promote your middle-level happiness and deprive you of bliss?
You know what? Before I learned all this in last 10-15 years, and actually started practicing, I was looking for awards and appreciations and things like that. But after doing intense meditation and learning and reading all these things more and more, I kind of remain detached, try to remain, most of the times. I don't want to say that, I don't like appreciation, but frankly speaking, it does not affect me that way. And as you rightly said, I'm so lucky that ever since I stopped chasing awards and successes, plenty of them started coming.
Wonderful.
So, I think the best way is not to chase them and let the grace come from above. And that's the way it has happened to me.
That's very clear and very beautiful. Thank you. Well, thank you very much for a wonderful evening. I'd like Jeminy Ben to say a word. Yeah.
And so thank you so much. It's beautifully delivered. And I want to thank Sudhir Bhai that he came. Sudhir Bhai came here in London in 90s, right? For the 98. That's when he came here for the first time. And this is now second time, but I'm sure you've been here a few times for your lectures and conferences in London. But I must say, Sudhir Bhai's humility that I have identified and I related to it when I met him in 98 was amazing. And so ever since I go to Madhuban, I always make my stopover, going there, coming back, make a point of meeting him. He's flooded with people, the room is packed out, he would get up from his seat, come and meet me. And it's impossible, people would actually wait in the queue to get the appointments, and yet he's very, very welcoming, very warm, and I've seen him in action, and he's constantly there, he comes out of the room, he helps people, he wants to know what is somebody's query, and he takes personal interest, although he's very, very busy man. I know that I've actually managed to get 5 minutes of your time at your home, right? And that was like 9 o'clock at night, just for 5 minutes before he's going to his another social meeting. Right, Sudhir Bhai, last? Yeah, so thank you. I want to really thank you that you gave us this time and shared these beautiful thoughts and research that you've been engaged with. Thanks.
I'm once again thankful to all of you. In fact, during the talk, I entered into a meditative state and might be I lost the orientation to time and I took you a little more time. I'm thankful to Neville for your introduction. I'm so thankful for your kind words. And that gentleman who was running the slides, thank you, sir. I don't know his name. Yogi Bhai. And thanks once again to all of you. Have a blissful life and may God bless you with all that is best for you. Thank you very much.